Thank you, Brother Michael. I do appreciate all the effort that went into special music today for Easter. It was good this morning, great tonight. And don't take that for granted. You have to get prepared to do that. Amen? And we appreciate that very much. I think good singing gets the gospel out. In fact, he just sung the whole book of Revelation to you there in a few minutes. Amen? That's good. Well, open your Bibles tonight to the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians. We're going to pick one verse and talk about it basically. And it's our theme verse that we chose here in 1971 when I came back and officially took the church, January 1971. We got our few workers we had together, and shortly thereafter we had a little workers meeting. And I introduced a theme verse, and that theme verse was here in Galatians that we're going to use for you tonight, chapter 6 and verse 9. It was actually referenced in one of the songs already tonight. Says, and let us. So that's talking to you and me tonight, amen? Galatians 6, 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm kind of familiar with fainting. How many of you are? I don't think I've personally ever fainted, not in the sense of needing some smelling salts stuck on my nose, but I've seen a couple of folks close to me that my mother used to faint. We didn't have smelling salts. All I had to do was get a wet rag and wash her face till she'd come back around. And I was the cause of the fainting so many times because I'd bring her a bloody thing to be bandaged up and she'd last just long enough to get it done. I'd watch the color draining out of her face as a kid while she was doing up where I ripped that arm in a barbed wire fence or something. And then pretty soon, she'd just ease on down and get her in a chair on the couch or sometime on the floor, but I'd run, get the wash rag, and I'd mop her face till she'd come back around. Later on, Sonia and I got married. She's fainted twice, and one time was my fault. Just once out of the two. Had a burst appendix and got to the emergency room about 1:30 a.m. and got the doctor up and been burst for a day or so, and I was having a bad time, and she had to take me to the hospital, and we got in the emergency room, and it was smaller than it is now over in Winter Haven. And he was trying to hold the cup under my chin because you know what I was doing in it. And he was trying to hold the cup there, and she was standing over it. All of a sudden, she just went down soft on the floor. He grabbed the smelling salts. I never forget, old Catholic doctor. I'm sure he's gone wherever he's gone now. He was old enough then, just about. But I remember what he said. He stuck the smelling salts under her nose and the cup under mine. He said, one of you got to come around. Then later on, she got some guy in a bad fever at home, and she called me at work, said, I'm coming home, so I left my job and met her at home, and by the time we got in the house, she just melted and went down. I went and got that same doctor on the phone. Well, things used to be tough, kids. Have a cell phone, didn't even have a phone in the apartment we rented. Went to the neighbor's house, called the doctor on the phone, and they didn't, even back then they didn't make house calls. But he did, because I told him he had to. I talked him into it, and sure enough, he came and helped me out. But fainting, that's a medical thing, that's a physical thing, but this verse isn't talking about that. It's talking about giving up. It's talking about quitting. And so it says, and let us not be weary. And that's a state of mind. That's an attitude that you can get a hold of. Just to give up, to be weary. Give up in what? In well doing. That's what it says. Not doing wrong. Good doing. Well doing. And then it says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, this is a familiar verse with us. Paul, in the context here, is writing to the church at Galatia. He was the one that had grounded them, and he was the one that had taught them. And yet, they're going back on him. They're quitting. They're giving up. They're turning to the false Judaizers. And if you went back to chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, "Oh, foolish, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you." He said, in spite of all the evidence, in spite of all the teaching, in spite of all the training, in spite of all that you know, he said, "You're slipping back. You're quitting. You're going wrong." And he called them foolish. Foolish. Foolish Galatians. Now, Paul had a great reason to quit right here if he'd wanted to quit. You know what hurts the preacher most is the folks he's put the most into that quit on him. That's what Paul had. He had whole church at Galatia. Oh, not all of them, but here they'd been infiltrated. Here they were trying to go back to the law. They knew about grace, but they were trying to back up. Somebody got in and deceived them. And one of the worst things we preachers hate is for those to get in our flock and sow bad doctrine, and then we stand shocked. I mean, I personally stand shocked sometimes as much preaching as I've done to folks, as much teaching, as much Bible as they've been exposed to, and they go wrong. Boy, nothing hurts you any harder than that. Cuts you any deeper than that. And Paul had that right here. Paul had a lot of reason to quit. I mean, things were going wrong. Have you ever had a day, and we all have, plenty of them. Have you ever said out loud or to yourself, "Everything is going wrong today"? Anybody not been there? I mean, have you ever noticed when it starts, it won't stop? If this crumbles, that breaks. You know what I'm talking about? And the law of physics sometimes seems to go in reverse. I mean, gravity will quit working at the wrong time. I mean, just things that ought to go and fall in place, and they don't fall in place. We've been there. We know what we're trying. Everything going wrong. I think about the guy on the job with his buddy, and his buddy was saying, "You know what? I'm going to take my wife some flowers and chocolates tonight. She's been such a good wife." And the second guy got convicted about it because he'd never done that. So he stopped on the way home and got him a big box of chocolates and a dozen roses. Instead of going down through the garage, he come to the front door, rang the doorbell officially. His wife came to the door with her apron on, and she was just kind of in a hassle. And there he stood, and she said, "Oh, oh, oh." She said, "What a day this has been." Said the washing machine overflowed. She said, "I burnt the food." Said the kid broke my best pitcher. "And now you come home drunk." Now, everything goes wrong sometimes, don't it? Sure it does. We've been there. Sometimes we're there more often than we want to admit. And you consider Paul's heart in this thing. Those he'd tried so hard with, those he'd worked with, and yet they were slipping back, going wrong. I've been there. Oh, I've been there. I mean, I've seen folks, you know, leave our church to go to a church with the wrong Bible, with the wrong music, with the wrong standards, but they couldn't have their way over some little penny something here that maybe nobody even knew anything about. That's amazing. And when you hear that kind of foolishness, you kind of just say, "Well, what am I doing? They're going over there where the doctrine's not right. They're going over there where all that we've preached and they've said amen to for all these years. And now they're going over there because preacher didn't part his hair right." That's about how foolish it gets sometimes. Just about that bad. Oh, maybe they had a suggestion. Maybe they were intruding in the pastoral office and had no business there, and they were making a suggestion. "Well, they don't like my idea. I'll just leave. I'll pick up my marbles and go home." That's the childlike foolishness I'm talking to you about. Oh, it's real, folks. It's very real. I don't want to go long tonight. I said I don't want to. That don't mean I won't. But I don't want to. I'm on your side. We may both lose, but anyway. Paul had a lot of reason to quit. I mean, man, he'd been striped. He'd been betrayed by false brethren. He'd spent nights in jail. He'd been falsely accused. He'd been shipwrecked in the deep. By the way, I saw in the news not too long ago, or some program, where they found the very anchors. You read about it in the last chapter of Acts, where the ship went down that he was on the way to Italy, ship out of Alexandria. They found the very four anchors right there near the Isle of Melita where he was stranded. Read about it in the book of Acts. Hey, this Bible's true, folks. Everything, every little detail, man, it's fitting in. I'm talking to you. You know, somebody says, well, maybe the Bible's... No, the Bible is true. And if you don't learn it here, you will know it when you stand before the one that wrote it. Amen. And the truth is, all that Paul had to make him quit, but he didn't quit. He didn't quit. In fact, you read where he wrote to Timothy from the jailhouse, so to speak, knowing that his head was soon to be chopped off, and it's an upbeat attitude that he has. He didn't grow weary in well-doing. He stayed on the true and straight and narrow. Amen. Let me say to you just a little bit tonight. Let me give you a few reasons on this verse for us not to be weary. Not to be weary. Number one, it says in the verse, because we're going to reap in due season. And I want to say that due season is near. I really do believe it's near. Now, if you're in my Sunday school class this morning, I butchered up something that I needed to spend another 30 minutes on as I read from Isaiah chapter 13 and how God is coming back and how he's going to judge the world for its evil. And I showed you how, I've tried to give a picture up there. You can get it off the website over the Cape, where they're showing that, you know, in 2014 and 15, we're going to have the four blood moons, and we're going to have the sun blanked out. And I showed this morning, tried to, the interesting thing, that those coincide with the Feast of Israel. And I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I find it a very interesting thing that the heavens, the sun, the stars, the universe, the cosmos, if you please, is fulfilling what's written in the book. In the book. Oh, listen. One of the things it speaks about over there in Isaiah 13 is the evil of this old world. Let me read just the verse that I used this morning, Isaiah 13. God says here in verse 11, I will punish the world for their evil. How many folks don't believe that today? I mean, worldwide, they don't believe God's going to punish them for their evil. And it just keeps on increasing. But he said, I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Now backing up into verse 10, he said, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. Watch it. The sun shall be darkened. That's a total eclipse of the sun. And in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Now, a blood moon is an eclipsed moon, and they happen. But the interesting thing is when these are happening. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but that'd be a good time. Because in the context of Isaiah 13, it's talking about the day of the Lord. It's talking about the judgment, when he's going to punish the world for their evil. And folks, if you don't see the evil today, you don't hear anything and you don't see anything and you don't read anything, you don't meet anybody, and you just plain can't miss it. The evil of our day. Man, the Supreme Court of the land debating marriage. Gays gonna marry men with men and women with women. And somebody says, well, that's all right. I wanna tell you what that's gonna lead to. That's gonna lead to all kind of deeper sin. In fact, right, you've heard me say it, right here in the Florida legislature, they've got a bill, and it may have passed by now, against bestiality. Somebody says, well, it can't go any further. Well, now it's man and man, woman and woman, maybe it'll be man and horse. You think I'm joking? I mean, polygamy? If it's a marrying one man, how come I can't marry three? I mean, it's opening the Pandora's box to all the evil that could possibly be, and God in his book condemns it and judges it and calls it an abomination. But amazing. abroad. You see what's going on with the nations, why we send them our tax money to. I saw the other day where we're giving $200 million to Jordan. Now, Jordan is rich. We're borrowing our money from China to give to Jordan and to give to Egypt. Jordan is going to have refugees, though, coming in from Syria, so we got to pay the bill for them. Folks, it is dumb. It's awful. And the taxpayers are footing the thing. But in a spiritual sense, they're denying everything this book says is right. Think about it. Right up here in Florida, did you see in the news where the professor up there at the Florida Atlantic College told the class to write Jesus on a piece of paper, put it on the floor and stomp on it? Did you see that? I mean, it was in big news. I'm thankful for the governor. The governor wants an investigation about it. And listen to me, young people. One young man in the class said, I won't do it. Now, where's the rest of them? The whole class should have been up saying, no way. One, and he got expelled for it. He got kicked out. Now, he'll be reinstated because the media publicized it. But think about it. Stomp on the word Jesus. He wouldn't have put Muhammad on it and told him to stomp on it. Right? See, that's where we're at. I mean, flying in the face of God Almighty. Hey, by the way, Jesus is going to do the last stomping. You read the Bible close. He's coming back and going to stomp on the head of the United Nations armies at the Battle of Armageddon, brother, and the blood's going to run up to the horse's bridle. He's going to be the last one. The Bible says, and by the way, I'm not exaggerating. He's going to tread out the winepress of the wrath of God, and as the grapes would spatter on a man's garments, it's going to spatter. He's going to be bloody with the blood of his enemies resisting him when he comes back. Read it. It's there. I said that one Sunday morning and offended a family so bad. They said, that's a bloody religion. I said, yes, you better be thankful it is. Without the blood, you don't have any hope. Amen. No, Jesus will do the stumping then. In the meantime, we may have to take some stuff, but there is times like that young man stood up in the class. We can stand up. We can get on the right side. We can lift our voice. We just need to do it a little more often. We may have to take some stuff. When I was a kid, you've heard me say this. Of course, no TV in town, I don't think, then. But went to the movies on Saturday. Oh, when I was 10 years old, it cost me 9 cents to go to the movies. I said, boy, that was cheap. Not if you didn't have it. 9 pennies. All week long, I'd find a way to get 9 pennies so I could go see the shoot 'em up on Saturday. The Cowboys. Amen. The old building was right in front of the hotel, right across from the bookstore down there. And that's what we're pretty much doing. Some of my heroes, there was the Durango Kid. Didn't like Roy Rogers and Gene Autry too much because they sang too much. But I like the others. And I tolerate them if that was all it was on. But I remember there was one of those Westerns was called The Three Musketeers. And I'm not talking about musketeers with swords. I'm talking about cowboys. One of them rode a white horse. One of them rode a black horse. And one of them rode a pinto. And the show would generally start off with them riding them three beautiful horses down the road and the trees and the dirt road and peace and beautiful. And then the bad guys would come. You remember what I'm talking about? I teach you science tonight. Start off that way, this particular movie. Here come the bad guys out of the bushes. They had the drop on them. They got the three musketeers stopped in the middle of the road. And they go up and start bad-mouthing them. And finally, one of them reaches over and slaps Tucson. He was the biggest of the musketeers, just slapped him. Well, Stoney, he was the fireball. He wanted to fight back, and they had the guns on them. And Tucson said, no. And he rubbed his chin like this. Just rubbed his chin where he'd been slapped. And he said, Stoney's a little hot-headed, but me, I abide my time.
Now, you know what we kids thought for the rest of that movie? We were waiting until Tucson got even. You know what I've been doing since I've been saved? Waiting for Jesus to get even. And he's going to get even, brother. He is not going to keep on letting them slap his face, spurn his word, and mock God. That's not going to go on forever, folks. The truth of the matter is, he is coming back. There is going to be some stumping. There is going to be some judgment. There is going to be some bloodshed. And he's long-suffering and merciful and trying to get everybody to wake up and receive him and get right with him. But if not, one day he's going to come back to deal with the evil of this world. With the enemies, if you please. He's going to do that. You know, bad stuff happening. This black surgeon, I'm trying to think of his name, Samuel Carlson, I believe it is. He's been on the news some. He's a smart fella. I mean, he's a top-notch surgeon, Johns Hopkins University Hospital. And I mean, he makes some sense. But boy, he is upsetting the liberals. Anybody seen him on the news? Raise your several hands. He talks soft, but boy, he talks right. And did you see, though, talking about the evil of the day, did you see where he was scheduled to be the graduation speaker, I believe it was, at Johns Hopkins? I mean, his alma mater. I mean, where he holds the degrees. I mean, where he's the top surgeon. But they canceled him because he said something somewhere back there that he believed marriage was between a man and a woman. See, we're in an unbalanced time now. Anything that's right is wrong. Isaiah said the day would come that they would call evil good and good evil. And that's the day we're in, folks. That's the day we're in. But you know what? You and I, we need to not be weary. We got a due season coming, a season that we're going to reap, and we've got a lot to reap. Do you know, church-wise here, we sure aren't perfect. We sure make our mistake, and I sure have some regrets, some things I haven't been able to do, but I want to say this. This church has got to have a good reaping day one day. A good reaping day. I believe that. I believe we've sown some crops. I believe we reap good here. But I believe the great reward is going to be on the other side. When the final harvest comes in, I think about it through all these years, 42-43 years here at the church. We've sent out a lot of ships that one day is going to come back loaded with reward. I believe the missions that we have given and the souls that have been saved on the mission field, I believe the thing that we've done with a Christian day school and with a college and with a radio station and just going down the line, all the ministries that we have, there's going to be a reaping day for that, a good reaping day. I really believe that with all my heart. I believe we reap here. I mean, I look through here. I'm disappointed. I'm sad about families that was with us a while and quit. Now, if they went somewhere and serving God, wonderful, wonderful. But if they dropped out, if they lost their kids, if things have gone bad because they got off of God's trail, they didn't lose their salvation, but they lost the joy of their salvation, lost the victory that they had in Christ. I'm sad about that. And by the way, God can't be blamed for that. And his book can't be blamed for that. And his church can't be blamed for that. And I'm going to go a little further and say his preacher can't be blamed for that. Because a preacher can only do so much. Every now and then, especially with kids, younger kids. You know, kids are, they're kind of tattletales. They will tell on others. They're almost as bad as adults. Some of you didn't get that. And I've had them come to me and say, "Preacher, tell me about another kid doing something wrong." Now, you know what they mean? They mean, "Preacher, you go get them. You straighten them out." You know, I've had adults come to me the same way. A preacher only has limited power. It's a spiritual power. A preacher can tell you right. He can't make you do right. He can tell you what the book says, but he can't make you do what the book says. And the truth of the matter is, we need to understand that. You say, "Well, the Pope can." Well, he can excommunicate you, but you didn't have nothing with him. You don't have anything without him. Amen.
Help yourself. Saw where he was kissing the Muslims' feet the other day after he washed them. Better watch out, folks. The one world church and the one world government's coming together. The one world harlot church is going to be riding on the back of the beast of government, Revelation 17 and 18. It's going to fulfill. That's the way it's coming about. It's moving fast. But truth is, if we're not going to drop out, if we're going to stay steady, we're going to have to see that that due season is near. That season of reaping time is near. I believe it's near. So how do I stay right? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. That's where you keep your eye. You keep your eye on that, what we're going to reap in the future. The seed we're planting now is going to come up. The seed we're planting now, we're going to get a harvest from. That's the truth. I think about Romans 8:18. No matter about how we're suffering, Paul says that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. He said, if you want to stay straight, if you don't want to grow weary, if you want to keep on serving God, he says, then you need to understand, no matter how bad it hurts there, that's not even worthy to be compared with what's waiting on us. And that's why he stayed on the straight and narrow. He kept his eye on the right place. Folks, we got to do that. Summertime's coming, Landmark, and I dread it. It'll get to where we can throw a cat through this building, and that wouldn't be a bad thing, but I'm throwing a cat. But anyway... and not hit anybody. In the summer, when some of you start taking those, I can't hardly say that word. It's a bad word. Right? Right? Some of you folks already, some of them told me this morning, going north. I'm going to go home tonight and say, Lord, I don't interfere in your business, but a big snow might help right now. I'm joking around some, not too much. Amen. But the truth is, it's going to look a little skinny around here. I'm talking collectively now. But it will. And hey, you know what that'll do? You know what it'll do? It'll discourage you. You get weary and well-doing. But if there's ever a time we need to double our effort, it's when we've got less help, when we got less folks. Some of you that maybe have kind of coasted through the winter, I may be able to see you better when the crowd leaves and see if I can't find something for you to do. Amen. One of the worst things about sitting home with my leg up in the chair, looking out the window and seeing all that pretty sunshine and realizing I had a staff, I couldn't make do anything. Wasting all that weather. No telling where they were, what they were doing. Amen. Because the boss was laid up. Now I'm joking at them some. I hope. With all that said, hey, we're not to the end of the finish line yet. We can't get weary now. It's not reaping time yet. We're still planting. We're still going to have a harvest. We're going to reap. The due season is right on us. I really believe that. I don't know. I don't know from NASA's pictures of the blood moons and all that I was showing you in Sunday school this morning. I don't know that it's going to have a thing to do, but it's so interesting that the Bible describes the moon being in blood, looking like blood, and the sun hiding its face, and all of that coming on the day that the old rabbis and Jews said, Rosh Hashanah, the day of resurrection. Easter, resurrection. Talked about Jesus being raised from the dead. But wait a minute. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. Not only that, we got a future resurrection when the trumpet sounds, brother. And it just might be. Who knows? Might be during that time. Might not be. But it will be one day. It will be one day. And the verse says, if we faint not. Now, there's an if there. Now, it's not talking about losing your salvation, but what is it talking about? Talking about you being able to lose your rewards. I won't turn to it, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells you how our works will be tested at the judgment seat. Not for salvation, not whether we're saved or lost, but whether or not we've been faithful to serve God after we got saved.
how we've lived after we got saved. It does matter how you live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It matters for your neighbor. It matters for the fellow you work with, for the class you sit in, for the people that know you and say, well, he says he's a Christian, but he don't live much like it. Now, that's a terrible testimony. I hope it's not you. I hope folks would say, you know what? I've never heard him curse. I've never seen him drink a beer. I've never seen all the things the world does. It must be, he might be a Christian. Now, it's wonderful if you have a testimony that will identify you. It's also good if your life will back up your lip when you use your lip to witness for Jesus. And we ought to do that. I used to tell, I remember as far back as my first Sunday school class I taught after I got saved, 11-year-old boys. And I used to say to them, oh, you know how kids are. You have to put a little pressure on. Let's say, fellas, if you don't obey your mom and dad, if you don't do right at school, don't you tell anybody you're in Mickey Carter's Sunday school class. You know what I was saying to them? Same thing I'm saying to you. Brother Bradley preached it well last Sunday night. Clean the filth out of the temple. And the temple is the body. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And we are that temple. Truth of the matter is, a lot of Christians don't live that way today. And that's why the world don't see much difference. And that's too bad. But if we faint not, we can lose reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says our works will be tested. Some of it will burn away like wood, hay, and stubble if you put it in the fire. But some of it will last, be gold, silver, and precious stones. The fire will only purify it. And your works will be tested at the judgment seat for reward or loss of reward. I don't know if I understand this verse completely, but you might want to look at it. Go over to 2 John, and we just look at verse 8. Verse 8, I believe it is, that I'm thinking about in 2 John. Verse 8. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, jump into 2 John, verse 8. It's only got 13 verses. Listen to this verse and look at it. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a what? Full reward. This verse is telling me that though I've worked for the Lord and build up a reward, if I mess up on the end and I mess up for the last years of my life down here, I may cut into that reward I build up. You interpret, you look at it and think about it. It's saying something like that. It's saying somehow or another you can cut that reward back. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about your sin. I'm talking about rewards for working for God. Folks, God is so good. He not only saves us by grace, our works can't save us. He saves us by grace, but then he rewards us for serving him after we're saved. It's a wonderful thing. And the warning here is don't cut into your reward. Receive a full reward. And so I go back to Galatians 6 and verse 9. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if. There it is, if we faint not. Now, if it means if we drop out, if we faint, we quit, we may be costing ourselves some of the reward. Maybe even cutting back on that we had already built up. Maybe that's what 2 John 8 says. I don't know about you, but any time I've ever tried to achieve anything, whether it was in sports or back in my hot rod car days of trying to race, you know what hurt me the most was to lose by an inch, lose by a little bit. I've seen some races I didn't even finish. I certainly didn't come close to winning them. I've seen some that I wrecked, seen some when the motor blew up, but then I had one or two I lost by that much. And you know the ones I remember? The ones I lost by that much. I remember them more than some of them I won by half a lap or something. It hurts when you miss it by just a little bit. I've seen it in sports. I've watched our ball teams play over here. I've seen us lose a football game by 1 point. 1 point. That hurts.
I remember one night, baseball. Stephen was still in school, and it was a baseball game. It was really tight. And he came up and really tagged that ball. It went to the far fence. We were all standing and watching it. Almost went over the fence. 1 inch it hit the top rail. 1 inch. If I'd have been fast enough, I'd have run over and jerked it down. 1 inch, and it bounced back into the playing field. The truth of the matter is, we're going to regret. We're going to regret when we miss it more. But we're going to regret the most when we miss it by just a little bit. You ever see a basketball game where the ball went up in the hoop and went, well, hollered, but then it didn't stay in, it went out? I think demons play around those things. I'm just my opinion. You seen that? Well, I don't want my Christian life to go and in at the end, bounce out. I want to score for the Lord, don't you? I don't want to be weary in well-doing. There is a season coming. There is a reaping time coming. It's definitely going to come. And I don't want to quit because I can see the finish line. I've said it so many times. We got the white flag, one lap to go. Charge harder instead of slowing up. I'm praying for this summer that we'll charge harder. I'm going to hope to even introduce some ideas maybe that'll help us, but we don't need to back off. Do you understand hell's just as hot in the summertime as it is in the winter? Do you know people need the gospel just as bad? What does the Bible say about that? It says be instant, in season, and out of season, don't it? Amen. I don't want to quit before I get to the finish line. I've told you before, I think, but a chaplain, military chaplain, called a pastor. I forget where it was, World War II or Korea War or what it was, but he called a pastor long distance. He said, name of your church and who you are, and yes, yes, the pastor said. He said, well, I'm chaplain so-and-so. Identified himself militarily. He said, I want you to know that the battle was raging, and he said, I went to a young man on the field that had been shot, wounded. He said, he was dying. He said, I asked him about his soul. And he said, yeah, chaplain, I'm saved. And he said, chaplain, if you can, get word back to my pastor and to my church that I died and I'm going in the arms of Jesus because of them. But he said, chaplain, more than anything else, said, I want you to tell my Sunday school teacher, except for her, I might be dying lost. Tell my Sunday school teacher. And the chaplain thought the pastor laid down the phone. He said, preacher, are you still there? He said, yeah. He said, did you hear what I said? Be sure you tell that Sunday school teacher that Bill said he was dying saved because of her. And the preacher hesitated and he said, chaplain, I got to tell you, that Sunday school teacher quit and resigned and left last week because she thought she was doing no good. Missed it by an inch. Missed it by an inch. I don't want to be at the judgment seat and miss it. I want a full reward. I want to keep on serving God. I don't want to faint and drop out. Let me challenge you. Devil been on your shoulder saying, you're not doing any good. Been on your shoulder, you're kind of weary and well-doing, not bad doing. Sin of omission, not doing right. Weary and well-doing. Oh, he'd like to stop you if he could. I'd like to challenge you tonight. I'd like to challenge you. Say, Lord, I'm going to stick in there. I'm not going to grow weary in well-doing. I'm not going to faint. I don't know if Jesus is coming tonight, tomorrow, or 10 years, but one day.